Hi, crew. So this, occasionally when we have a fifth Sunday of the month, we're going to do fifth Sunday family services where we're all in here together hanging out. Kids, anyone under, what do you want to be a kid? Anybody under 13? Feel free to wander around. If they scream, it's fine. Don't give the parents a dirty look next to you of a screaming child. This is what it is to be a family, right? All together in a space. And so, kids, we love that you're here. So, parents, let them go. Let them wander. It's fine, unless maybe they play the organ. But other than that, it's totally fine. I remember, I don't know, it was probably 5 years ago, one of my children was doing back bends while I was preaching in the front pew, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I can only see them, but it's fine, okay? It's fine. So as we're moving back into the building, we're all kind of moving back into a new reality and trying to figure out what is this, right? This middle of COVID thing, we're not through it, but this is the new normal. And so one of the questions we've been asking is what's this new normal? How are we doing life? And so this fall we're asking in our sermon series, how do we get back in the game? I don't know how many of you can relate to this, but there's things from before COVID that you really miss and would like to get back to. But there's other things that you're like, why was I ever spending so much time doing that? I hate that. I'm never going to go back and do that again. And so there's this reshuffling of our priorities and what we do, and it takes work to get back in the game. And so we're talking about what does that look like as individuals, but also what does that look like as a church. So this last week we talked about what does it mean that we are a church that holds progressive values and what are those? And then this week we're going to talk about we actually were nothing unless we put it into action. Okay, so the what are you doing? So even kids, at the end of this, we're going to ask, what do you feel called to do? What do you feel called to do? And maybe that is just pick up trash on the corner lot in my neighborhood that looks like junk. But what do you feel called to do? And we're going to share that at the end. But we're going to talk a little bit about what does it mean to be a church and act out the love and generosity that we want to be about. Okay, how many of you have ever been to a wedding? Okay, now the passage this morning I'm going to read again is the love passage. And that passage is probably read at about 50% of our weddings. Lynn and Charlie Swanson, I read it at their daughter's wedding 2 weeks ago. And you know, it's so fun to be a pastor at the front with a couple, because it's one of the most exciting days of their life gathered together. And we talk about what? Sickness and health and love forever. But how many of us have been in a relationship longer than 3 months? Okay? It takes work, right? And this is what I say to couples. Love isn't just like a poster you put above your door or your dinner table with some cute accolades. Love is the hard work of living out how to love another person that sometimes burps or farts or drives you crazy. None of us can relate to that. So how do we live out love? How do we live out faith? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So here's the passage. This is the Message version, okay? If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but have no love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all mysteries and making everything plain as day, if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, but don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt. That means I have no money without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than themselves. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut around. Love does not have a big head. It doesn't force itself on others, and it doesn't fly off the handle. You can ask your parents what that means on the way home.
Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when other people are sad. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with all things and trusts God always. Love looks for the best, never looks back, and keeps going to the end. Here it is. Trust in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these is love. Can you guys say that with me? The best of these is love. Bob Goff was a guy who was a corporate lawyer, and he traveled to India. And when he saw the poverty and suffering, specifically of kids in India, he was like, I know I'm just a corporate lawyer who does building construction liability, but I got to do something to help kids who don't have parents, who don't have a family, who don't have food. And he started an organization called Love Does. Love Does, I think, helps kids in 13 of the most impoverished and war-ravaged countries. And its tagline, Love Does, he's written a book, maybe you've seen it, and Steve said he has a blog called Dream Big and a new book called Dream Big. Bob Goff is like one of these just crazy, eccentric people. I bet his blog is, I bet his podcast is fun. But here's the tagline. Only action becomes love. You guys want to just say that again so we remember these things? Only action becomes love. What does that mean? Just like the people that I talked to about the wedding, that it's not just an idea. Love is a verb. It's something we live out. So we're going to think about the things from progressive Christianity last week. And you might not feel like I'm all progressive, but this is kind of the flavor that Columbine has been for a while. This is who we are. We're progressive. Maybe in the sliding scale, you have conservatives, progressives. You might be somewhere in that. Columbine, we've hung our hat on a progressive hook, right? It means we love Jesus, we honor God, but it also means that there's a couple things that we value that maybe not other churches value as much. So we're going to go through those and talk about how we live them out. The first one, and I summarize these for you, okay, is progressives believe that following the path of Jesus can lead us to deeper experience of God, right? It's how we connect with God. So how do you, if I ask you how you follow Jesus, what would you say? This can be like, oh, yeah, Zoe's saying, if you don't have a sheet, my assistant, my executive assistant, Professor McGonagall, will walk it around to you. Raise your hand if you need a sheet, if you didn't get any. Zoe, you've got one taker, Michelle. Okay, and then the Thurbers. Okay, so how do we follow Jesus? That's a great question for us to ask personally, and how do we do that in our families? For me in my life, I found that I follow Jesus more through community and friends who are willing to have tough conversations and read the Bible or other books that challenge me to grow and learn and expand. In our mom small group the other night, we were talking about forgiveness, and one of the moms said, like, how do you even forgive? Like, we talk about forgiveness all the time, but is there like a three-step plan to forgiveness that's easy? No. That these things, the journey of following Jesus is a lifelong thing of working out what it looks like to live out the teachings of Jesus that are very challenging, and some of his friends in the Bible. As progressive Christians, we believe that we are shaped through the following of Jesus, and Jesus is one of many ways that we can learn more about God. So, who are your people that help you follow Jesus and learn more about Jesus and experience God in all things? Your second one is that we believe that how we act is the fullest expression of what we believe. How many of you have ever experienced someone who's like yelling, and then says, I love you though? Sometimes I feel like that when I'm telling my children to get in bed and then I tell them I love them. But so we all have moments like that as parents. But actions. It is our very actions in our families, with our neighbors, at schools, that speak to who what we truly believe. If we are not kind and then claim to love our neighbor, there's a big disconnect there. So many Christians claim to love God, but don't really like anything else, Richard Rohr says. Ooh, that's a scathing verdict, right? How do we love our people? One church said, our neighbors are a lot of single parents who don't have laundry machines. So we're going to rent out a laundromat, pay for everyone's laundry for the night, and tutor their kids. Love your neighbor, right? One church decided they would always make sure that they had bags of socks and granola bars and Band-Aids and water for any homeless or wandering person they saw on the street. How do we be those people who love our neighbors generously and practically? Okay? And I think it begins with just having an open spot next to you in church and loving and being generous to whatever little monster sits next to you. The next one is
progressives. One of the things about progressives is they value questions more than answers. And you're going to always see that in how Steve and Samantha and I and whoever is preaching communicates. We are not going to tell you 3 steps to avoid a residence in hell and then tell you to move on. That is not us. We are not prescriptive preachers. And you can hold us accountable to that. We want to ask questions. We want to create a culture that asks questions. We want to love questions and embrace doubt. Embrace the messiness of life and faith and this journey. So many churches, people outgrow that faith because why? It was formulaic. And if I just did A, B, and C, I would have a perfect spouse and beautiful children. And it didn't work out that way, and this sucks. Right? Because that model of a faith journey is a box that we break out of really quickly, and it's claustrophobic. There is not enough, there's just not enough breathing room in that box. And so at Columbine and a progressive leaning means we blow apart the box and we're okay about good, hit huge questions. Sometimes Steve and I will say, if people say to us, like, what do you really think? Where do you really think people go when you die? Because you're a pastor and you should know. And we're like, I don't know. I don't know. No one's come back lately and told me. And you get this look like, what kind of a pastor are you? One that's honest. We don't know. It's a mystery. And so progressives embrace mystery and a learning journey. And whether you are 50 or 60 or 94, none of us has arrived at the end until we die. And then it might be a new beginning of something amazing. But we're all growing. This goes back to community again. How do we grow? We grow through relationships with life together, through intergenerational relationships. We need each other in this journey. Who are the people in this journey with you? Coming out of COVID, do you need some more people to journey with and go deeper with? And then the last one of the progressives of how do we live this out is this huge, lofty one. Strive for peace and justice among all people. Seek to protect and restore the integrity of our earth. We talked about this, reconciliation, restoration. This confesses that things feel broken around us, broken but not hopeless. Broken but not hopeless. We believe God is doing something and that God invites us, you, to partner to make this world better, to put the broken pieces back together. And you know what? As progressives, we realize this is gonna take work. It might even make us feel uncomfortable, right? It pushes us out of our comfort zone. For us on staff, we've been doing the hard work about talking about conflict, self-awareness, and working through conflict as healthy, awesome individuals. Why? Because there's just a little bit of stress with this project, as you can imagine. We have to work on ourselves. We have to be our best version of ourselves. We have to be people who are willing to lean into conflict in places that are broken, in places that hurt. My mom's small group, we've been reading the Anne Lamont book, and she said, so she was talking about sin as brokenness. And then she said, you know what I do with my youth class? I just take them out to the beach and have them pick up trash and say, this beach trash, this is sin. Right? It's true, right? Just like all that crap on the beach that should just be beautiful and gorgeous, and it's like lapping there in the surf. Sin. Brokenness. How are we people that are picking up the trash? Literally, metaphorically, in our world. Wouldn't it be great to be like, hey, Columbine, oh, they're the trash picker-uppers. Samantha's done such a great job of involving the youth this year during COVID in projects outside. They've gotten to plant grass and pick up trash and do invasive plant removal. My son, who's always he's going to be a middle manager for sure. She told them that they had a machine that would take out all these invasive, weeds in like 10 minutes, but it's broken, so they could do it. Judah's like, could we just pay to fix the machine? No, you get to do it. But it's awesome to be hands-on in our community. Right? How do we show up? So many churches have come together and thought about practical, loving ways to express their love in their communities. One church said, let's rent out a laundromat one night a week. Laundry, coin laundry, so expensive. We'll tutor single parents' kids and pay for all the single families to do their laundry one night a week. I love that. Other churches make sure that all their members have, and we've done this before at Columbine, but stuffed gallon-sized bags with granola bars and wet wipes and socks and Band-Aids. And so they're the granola bar church. And anytime they see homeless people or people on their way that look like they need something, they have, right? How can we tangibly be the granola bar people? The loving, generous people who see the needs in our community. Okay. So Columbine, how do we act out who we are? It's great if we have a nice mission and a vision and we write it out on a wall in glittery writing. It has to be lived out. Okay? How do we as a people follow Jesus in a radical way that connects us to God and others in our community in a unique flavor of generosity, of love, of inclusion, in authenticity? How do we learn to do difficult things? How do we stop? How do we care? Bob Goff, only action becomes love. Where are you acting out your love? And where are you feeling challenged to act out love in a more tangible way as we all kind of crawl out of our basements and try to figure out how to live again? So it's a real thing. What time are we at? Okay. Hey, by the way, live streamers, I put this outline on Facebook for you so you can track with it too. So you have a couple minutes. We've been doing outside discussions. A couple people said they'd really love to continue to have a discussion question. Hey, for some of you, I know that that is painful. So you could look down and look for the next hymn if you don't really want to talk to anybody. But this is just one question today for a couple minutes before Steve closes us in a prayer. Where do you have like a rumbling? A challenge? Where do you hear that voice of challenge to learn something new? To do something different? To meet someone new? Where are you feeling called to action in your own life? Okay? Make sure you meet a person next to you, like learn a name, and talk about that for 3 or 4 minutes, okay? Okay.